Welcome to Business Beat. Here each week, KBIA takes a look at the business and economic issues facing Mid-Missouri. I'm Christopher Husted. Our neighboring city of Independence, Missouri, is going green with its lighting over the next few years. At the 81st annual meeting of the U.S. Conference of Mayors in Las Vegas last weekend, Independence announced its plans to partner with Philips Lighting on an energy and maintenance-saving project. All 12,000 street lamps in the city are expected to be replaced with LED lighting over the next 3 to 4 years. Independence is one of the first cities in Missouri to embrace this lighting technology, and Mayor Don Riemel says the move to LED lighting will significantly improve its carbon footprint.
We're going to eliminate 10,000 pounds of carbon dioxide that goes into the atmosphere, and it's kind of like removing 900 cars a year from the streets.
Riemel also says the conversion to LED street lighting is expected to reduce energy costs by 50%. That's about $4 million in energy and maintenance costs over the next 10 years. He says the city will not lose any money by implementing the project, and he hopes Independence will set the standard for other communities in Missouri to convert. The first lighting kickoff in Independence is set for Friday. As immigration takes center stage in Washington, minorities, often immigrants, are a growing presence among the nation's farmers. The last census of agriculture showed the number of Hispanic farmers was up 14%, while the figure for Asians increased 40%. And those numbers are rising, with recent African immigrants also finding a place in agriculture. Immigrants who are new farmers face similar challenges as any other beginners and can reap the same rewards. Harvest Public Media's Amy Mayer introduces one immigrant in the heart of Iowa whose farm is taking shape.
I make this.
Air Filavon slides open a new door that connects a decrepit old barn to a brand new shelter he's built. He's made many other improvements on the 11-acre farm he bought 3 years ago in Milo, Iowa. This season, he's raising 4 beef calves and preparing areas for the Muscovy ducks he plans to add soon.
I didn't think I would do a farm, but now I get out and do a farm.
Filavon came to the United States from Laos over 30 years ago as a refugee. His English is good, and he's comfortable in this country. During his early years in Laos, he spent time on his grandfather's rice farm, and he says that background will make his farm different from those around him.
American farm, they have tractor, they have machine, they have new technology, they have new science, new idea. My farm is going to be own style, Laotian style.
Filavon is open to learning all he can, and he's finding his neighbors are quite willing to help him. He's also gotten connected with additional mentors thanks to Practical Farmers of Iowa's Savings Incentive Program. Mark Stroby runs that program.
Basically, we walk people through the process of creating a farm.
Stroby says applicants must already be involved in a farm. If they're accepted into the program, the beginning farmers must save money each month, attend workshops, and meet with a mentor. Then they write a business plan. After 2 years, if they've met the requirements, their monthly savings are matched, up to $2,400. Stroby says of the 60 program participants so far, Filavon is one of just 2 immigrants. Stroby matched Filavon with mentor Matt Russell from nearby Coyote Run Farm. Russell says he sees echoes of his own farm's launch in Filavon's plans. Russell recognizes the drive.
It's not like he has an immigrant's interest and passion. I mean, he really has an American interest that we're seeing all across the country.
Still, Russell says, some aspects of the farm will require extra attention. In the 21st century, immigrants are a growing segment of the farming population nationwide, not just agricultural workers, but farm owners and operators. Like Filavon, many combine experience from their home country with the resourcefulness and innovation long known to farmers everywhere.
This is a water tank.
Dozens of garden hoses are looped on fence posts throughout Filavon's farm. He runs them from the house so he doesn't have to haul 5-gallon buckets of water, 2 at a time.
Can you figure out what is that?
He points to a piece of white PVC pipe lashed to a couple of posts and angled into a metal trough.
When I run the water from the house through here, put in here, sometimes to fill out and keep me busy and it's a lot of work. I don't want that.
Now he slips the hose through the pipe and it stays put. Filavon says he's constantly learning and always trying to improve. Someday, maybe he'll buy more land and more cattle, even quit his day job, but not anytime soon.
Between job, between work in city and farm, both of them make me happy. I love it.
After 3 decades in this country, this new farmer has found his American dream. I'm Amy Mayer, Harvest Public Media.
After Kansas dramatically cut its income tax rates in 2012, Missouri legislators scrambled to push for similar cuts to stay competitive with its neighbor when it came to attracting businesses. But a recently published brief from MU's Institute of Public Policy comparing Missouri's effective tax rate with its 8 surrounding states found that Missouri is actually already a low-tax state. KBIA's Harum Helmi sat down with public policy researcher David Valentine, one of the brief's authors.
If low taxes drive business location, low taxes alone, Missouri should be rolling with corporations coming from these other states to Missouri. And we don't see that.
Do you want to talk a little bit about
that? Sure. Taxes aren't the only thing that businesses look at and may not be the most important. Just because somebody reduces your taxes, that doesn't mean you're going to go out and buy a Mercedes. Right? No, you're not going to do that. Just because you reduce the taxes of a business, that doesn't necessarily mean that the business owner is going to expand his business. In fact, there may be no opportunity to expand. Maybe lots of factors affecting expansion of a business, not just the level of taxation. You know, as they say in the real estate market, the critical question is location, location, location. Well, that's important in for business as well. In addition, labor issues are important.
The brief also mentions that comparing just tax rates between states is problematic. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Tax rates are tax rates, and they're easy to compare state by state, but they may not tell you very much. Let me give you an example. The tax rate for corporations in the United States is 35%. Highest in the world. So if you want to argue for reducing corporate taxes in the United States, that's your point. But the effective rate, what average corporations actually pay, is 12%. The reason it's 12% is because of all of the exemptions in the tax code. If you compare the overall tax rate, you're not getting very good information because it's not connected to what happens to individual corporations. Let me give you another a state example. So if you're comparing sales taxes in a variety of states, you could look at the rates, but the real key is what the basis, what's covered.
That was KBIA's Harum Helmi talking with public policy researcher David Valentine. And that's it for Business Beat. I'm Christopher Husted. Thanks for listening.